Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, we make sense of the confusing news cycle around Ambassador Bill Taylor, the leaker, a.k.a. the whistleblower's lawyer. We talk about the Mexican cartels and what exactly is going on the southern border. And finally, we talk about the election results that have been getting a lot of coverage by the mainstream media, and we tell you the honest truth that no one else is covering. Before we get started, please type in the Charlie Kirk Show to your podcast provider. This is really important. Press subscribe. Make sure you are subscribed and go download all the episodes you can listen to. Get your friend to do the same. We want a surge in subscribers, and you guys are going to allow us to do that. So type in the Charlie Kirk Show, your podcast provider, right now. Press subscribe. Go find a friend to do the same and leave a review. Those reviews help us so much. This is Charlie Kirk, host of the Charlie Kirk Show. We got a great show in store for you, so hang tight. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. The impeachment circus marches on. Democrats are preparing to take their impeachment proceedings to the public, finally, next week. And I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to make a prediction. This is going to be a circus. 50 days to the day since Nancy Pelosi announced the beginning of the inquiry. I remember exactly where I was when she announced it. And as soon as she did, I said, okay, here we go. The lines have been drawn. House Democrats have released another cherry-picked testimony. This is the big news of the day, this time from Ambassador Bill Taylor, that actually undermines the Democrats' total sham of an impeachment. Just a little background. Ambassador Bill Taylor is America's top diplomat in Ukraine. The media is painting this as horribly damning. They're building up on Ambassador Bill Taylor as if he's above reproach. So he's a hero because he's serving the United States military. I totally agree with that. And then he's a West Point graduate. However, that does not independently mean that you cannot cross-examine who he was or his relationship with the White House. In fact, that is a red herring argument. A red herring argument would say, well, this individual must be correct because he did something heroic 20 or 30 years ago. And I am saying he did something heroic. I'm not diminishing it. I am not questioning it. However, this is a logical fallacy that the media is engaging in. It is an independent piece of information absent of what we're actually talking about here, which is a phone call with Ukraine and potential aid withheld quid pro quo, of which there is no evidence. In fact, there's evidence to the contrary. However, the new kind of standard of evidence that is put forward by the Democrats is not that you are presumed innocent and that the other side has to prove your guilt. It is that you are presumed guilty if you are Donald Trump and you have to prove your innocence. There's something that everyone's missing about this. There's something really important about it, especially with what Taylor told Congress, that I think most of the media is really glossing over. But did you know that most Americans worry more about burglary more than almost any other crime? More than mugging, more than terrorism, more than car theft, and even murder? I mean, according to studies, only 10% of break-ins are planned beforehand. The rest are just spur of the moment. And that means, actually, if you look at the statistics, there are burglaries every 13 seconds. That's 2 million every single year. So the course of this show, dozens of people will have had their houses broken into. And so what are you doing about it? Is your house safe? Are you confident that your property that you care about and your loved ones have the protection they need? Well, there's something you can do about it, and there's something you should do about it, and that's SimpliSafe. SimpliSafe has 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. Every window, room, and door. And so if you want to get SimpliSafe for your house, here's what you do. Go to simplisafe.com/Charlie. You'll get free shipping. Their police dispatch is over 3.5 times faster because they use video verification. It's designed to blend right into your home, no wires and no drilling, and it's won a ton of awards from CNET to New York Times Wirecutter. Around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. So you've got nothing to lose. Go now and be sure to use my code, Charlie. So go to simplisafe.com/Charlie. That's simplisafe.com/Charlie. There are bad people out there. Secure yourself, secure your property, keep your family safe. simplisafe.com/Charlie. So according to CNN, total fake news, they've said that the top diplomat says that there was a, quote, clear understanding of potential quid pro quo with Ukraine. Taylor told Congress in closed doors testimony last month he saw the request as so dangerous that he believed Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky should ignore them, even if it meant losing a one-on-one meeting with Trump. And so here was part of, so the big news is that this testimony was made public today. That's the big news. So the testimony didn't happen recently, happened in the last month, but the testimony itself is not breaking news. The fact he testified, the fact that what's breaking news is what's in the testimony. So just understand why everyone is covering this. So Taylor said this in his testimony. He said, quote, if President Zelensky, in order to get that meeting with Trump, were going to have to intervene in U.S. domestic policy or politics by announcing an investigation on that would benefit someone in the United States, then it's not. It wasn't clear to me that it would be worth it, end quote. That's what he said. So just to make this simple for you to understand, and this was news to me, I was under the impression that the President of the United States talks to foreign leaders quite frequently, which he does, but what's coming out, what's being revealed in this testimony, is there was all this back-channeling and negotiating and terms being set around this phone call, which for me is highly unusual. It's kind of bizarre, actually, because it seems that the President of the United States is someone who just loves to have conversations with all people, let alone foreign leaders. I mean, you talk to Erdogan quite often with his withdrawal from Syria. But what's coming out is that Taylor told Congress, basically, that there was a lot of conversation and chatter around it. And the thing that CNN is really harping on in Taylor's testimony is that Zelensky didn't think it was worth it to intervene in U.S. domestic politics in order to get the phone call. So basically, Taylor also makes it clear that Ukraine did not know about the aid being withheld during the president's call, debunking this false narrative about a quid pro quo. And there's all this testimony to justify it. I won't go through all of it right now. But Taylor was not on the call with Zelensky. That's a really important piece of information. So again, secondhand knowledge and proof that the administration has reasons to doubt Taylor's loyalty. By the way, Taylor never even spoke with the president. Taylor's conjecture about why there would be interest in Ukraine conducting investigations was based solely on a report from the New York Times. So if you're a little bit confused, let me just distill it down, because I understand there's so many different characters involved here. So you have Ambassador Taylor, who's the United States ambassador to Ukraine, who admitted in testimony that he got the whole idea from quid pro quo from the New York Times. It's also been revealed that despite the phone call happening in late July, right near our Turning Point USA Teenage Student Action Summit, might I add, it was all during that period of time, that the Ukrainian call was a month before the actual revelation that Ukrainian aid was being withheld. And so this is so, the media has done so much examination into this entire story. I mean, they are trying to find something that simply does not exist. Every word, every syllable is being poured over. And I think they're quickly discovering that they're not going to be able to find a smoking gun, that they have a parade of witnesses that are contradicting each other and that are revealing new information that quite frankly shows that there was no quid pro quo and the president did nothing wrong. Boy, if only ABC News investigated Jeffrey Epstein as hard as the media is trying to investigate this fake impeachment hoax against the president of the United States. What a great weekend of football coming up. LSU at Alabama, what a game. The President of the United States will be going to the game in Tuscaloosa. I think that LSU is the best team in the country. Ohio State is pretty good too. I like LSU to win on the road. If they win on the road, that's pretty decisive. We got Iowa at Wisconsin, Penn State at Minnesota. I like Minnesota to pull that off. People think I'm a little out there on that one, but you heard it here first. I like Minnesota with an upset. Kansas State at Texas, somewhat of an irrelevant game, quite honestly. But I think Texas is going to win. NFL, let's do some NFL picks. This is part of the betonline.ag challenge called the Sportsnet Challenge, brought to our great friends. And you could, so I'm competing against all the other Podcast One hosts. You can go to podcastonesportsnet.com. That's podcastonesportsnet.com. And we are going to win this week. So let's win together. We got the Chargers at the Raiders. I like the Chargers. Detroit at Chicago. I like the Bears. Kansas City at Tennessee. I like Kansas City. Minnesota at Dallas. I like Minnesota. Seattle at San Francisco. I like Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. We were on the 49ers bandwagon before everyone else, just like we predicted. Warren would be the nominee, which she's not yet. So it could be wrong. It could be good. It could not be wrong. Or it could be correct. We'll see what happens. And we also have said Joe Biden's kind of pursuit of the nomination will go less than desirable. Just like that, Jimmy Garoppolo, who I played football against growing up, is probably one of the best, if not the best, quarterbacks statistically right now in the NFL. I think that's fair to say. He's undefeated. He's having a great season. So if you guys think I'm terribly wrong on all of these picks, Well, then right now, go to betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. You get a 50% sign-up bonus, and you guys can get in on the action. That's betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. We got some huge NBA key matchups coming up. New Orleans at Brooklyn, Golden State at Houston, Milwaukee at Clippers, Philly at Denver, Toronto at Lakers. Again, betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. And since the Ducks aren't playing this weekend, I'll be slightly less engaged. Go Ducks, number 7 in the country. They might make the college football playoff. If you think I'm wrong, then bet against me at betonline.ag. Use that promo code podcast1. So the other big news of the day on the front page of the Drudge Report showed that Donald Trump Jr. ousts the whistleblower's name. So this is the worst kept secret on the planet right now. I'm not going to say the whistleblower's name because there are laws against that. Real Clear Politics has said this individual's name. The President of the United States retweeted an article that had the whistleblower's name in it, and it's all over Twitter, but it rhymes with Shmerik Shimarella, is what we think it is. However, so the whistleblower, or better described, the leaker's lawyer, Mark Zaid, I might be mispronouncing it, I mean, no offense if I am, is revealed to have had some pretty damning deep state tweets going back to January of 2017. So first of all, who is this Mark guy? Well, according to his Twitter bio, by the way, he tweeted at me today, which goes to show he's way too much time on his hands. The attorney handling cases involving national security, security clearances, government investigations, media, FOIA requests, and whistleblowing. So nonpartisan, yeah, right. I'm sure he was doing a lot of FOIA requests against the Obama administration. His website bio says this: Mark Zaid, or Zaid, is the founding partner of Mark Zaid PC. He often represents former or current federal employees, intelligence and military officers, whistleblowers, and others who have grievances or have been wronged by agencies of the United States government or foreign governments. Moreover, Mr. Zaid regularly represents members of the media. Okay, so look, I will say this. I'm not anti-whistleblower. I actually am very much in support of people rising up against their government and challenging authority. I'm very pro-citizen government. I think that we should have whistleblowers coming out every single day about the abuse of the Federal Trade Commission and the Environmental Protection Agency and the abuse in the FBI. But I have a very simple question. Where were the whistleblowers against James Comey and Andrew McCabe and Bruce and Nellie Orr when she was working at Fusion GPS, or Samantha Powers? If we actually had a network of whistleblowers that were holding these sort of actions accountable, we would be seeing a parade of whistleblowers. Where were the whistleblowers against Lois Lerner at the IRS when she weaponized the Internal Revenue Service against conservative nonprofit groups when Obama was president of the United States? So look, I'm very pro-whistleblower. This is not a whistleblower. By even whistleblower definitions, the rules were changed. They were changed recently to now include secondhand information. This whistleblower, which again rhymes with Shmerik Shimarella, was someone who was a Biden operative, might have even traveled to Ukraine with Biden, met with Adam Schiff, and Adam Schiff lied about it, was working under Brennan and Clapper, and was someone who was highly politicized. So guess what? The Sixth Amendment of the Constitution allows every single person the right to face their accuser. Right now, this whistleblower is critical in the case against Donald Trump. And guess what? There isn't much of a case. And by the way, the leftist media, they do everything they possibly can to try to expose everything about Donald Trump. How many Diet Cokes he drinks, what kind of ice cream he likes, and how many scoops of ice cream does he actually have. His entire minute-by-minute schedule is hyper-examined by the leftist media. However, the minute that anyone on the conservative or the moderate side even tries to get information about who on the left might be trying to take out this president, the media does everything they possibly can to attack the idea of facing your accuser. This is nothing new. Remember the New York Times article written by Anonymous, where they wrote that article saying, I am a deep state agent working against the president of the United States. They now have a new book coming out, which will detail even more deep state tactics against this president of the United States. So again, I'm very pro-whistleblower in the sense that I want people within our own government to rise up and question authority when they believe that it is abused. But guess what? Shmerik Shimarella, allegedly, did not even hear the phone call that is being put in question. So how would he know? Here's what really happened here. Is that Congressman Adam Schiff, and you can go to our previous episode on the Charlie Kirk Show, I highly encourage you to do it, download it, give it a listen, give us 5 stars, and please press subscribe, get your friend to do the same. In the previous episode, we talked about how Adam Schiff was a failed crime writer from Hollywood. So why does this matter? Well, Adam Schiff, when he's trying to write the script, he needed something to start the avalanche of impeachment against President Trump. So he was probably plotting and planning right around the time that Bob Mueller testified in front of Congress. So I just want to give you a calendar of events here because this is really important. in the spring, right around April or May, the Mueller report was finally released. Democrats were very underwhelmed by what they found in the Mueller report. By the way, let's just remember, we just went through a 2.5-year taxpayer-funded hit job against the President of the United States that resulted in his total exoneration and did not result in any sort of evidence of wrongdoing or criminal activity and no violation of any criminal U.S. criminal code whatsoever at all. So then you get to June, where all of a sudden Trump's approval ratings start to go up, where all of a sudden he starts to raise record amounts of money. So the Democrats say, well, let's get Bob Mueller to testify. Now, during this period of time of July 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, this is when the phone call with the Ukrainian president happened. This is also when the president spoke at the Teenage Student Action Summit. And it's also when Bob Mueller testified in front of Congress. So is it a coincidence that within this very same 30-day period that you have Bob Mueller stumble over his own words and not even know what Fusion GPS is, basically say that the report was not under his purview? There's a lot of people that have been very vocal against Bob Mueller personally. I'm not going to do that. I don't know him. I don't know his motivations. I do know that he ran a very highly politicized potential witch hunt against the President of the United States with far left-wing lawyers that wanted to completely take him out and destabilize him and remove him from office. But then you have Bob Mueller stumbling over his words. Adam Schiff needed something to get this Ukrainian hoax going. What did he do? Well, he found, I believe, he allegedly found someone within the executive branch that was able to blow the whistle and not go through the proper channels or protocol and begin the impeachment that they wanted to start 19 minutes after President Trump got inaugurated. Remember, 19 minutes after President Trump got inaugurated, the Washington Post wrote, "The case for Donald Trump's impeachment officially has begun." So Mark Zaid, the lawyer for the whistleblower or the leaker, is a highly partisan left-wing hack. He likes to make it seem he's on the side of, you know, transparency, on the side of holding big institutions accountable. If that was really the case, we would be able to find tweets of him supporting the challenging of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and their deep state tactics and antics against the President of the United States. I will rephrase my question. Where is the whistleblower with Fast and Furious? Where is the whistleblower with the IRS targeting scandal? Where is the whistleblower with Loretta Lynch meeting with Bill Clinton on a tarmac 2 days before Hillary Clinton got acquitted on all crimes and all charges from the Federal Bureau of Investigation? Where was the whistleblower on FISA abuse? The fact is that the whistleblowing mechanism is now being used selectively against people the left does not like. True whistleblowers, whistleblowers that would stand up against the deep state, whistleblowers that would stand up against Democrats are scared and terrified, and they should be, because there would be retribution and backlash if they actually spoke their mind. So I'm looking at Mr. Producer right now. Yep, he's holding up that watch. He's really excited. Vincero watches. We love them here on the Charlie Kirk Show. He's got a smile a mile wide. You should look at it. I got to start wearing my Vincero watch because I travel so much. I got to take it off for security, but there's no excuse. You guys got to get a Vincero watch. Mr. Producer says all the time, "Hey, Charlie, do you know they have 18,000 five-star reviews?" So yes, Mr. Producer, I know that Vincero has 18,000 five-star reviews. But guess what? It's because their modern timepieces masterfully blend fashion and function to one affordable timepiece. Right now, an exclusive deal for our partners at Vincero. They're offering 15% off your entire order with the code KIRK, K-I-R-K. Just head to VinceroWatches.com, use the code KIRK. No matter what you might need it for, if you're a guy, you need a Vincero watch. If you are not a guy and you know guys, which everyone does, you also need a Vincero watch for them. And guess what? Don't forget, Vincero has free worldwide shipping. So go right now to VincerOWatches.com. Use the code KIRK for 15% off your entire order. And guess what? They've had styles that I announced sell out totally before. So before you do anything else, do yourself a huge favor. Go pick out your new accessory. You will not be disappointed. Use that code KIRK, K-I-R-K, VinceroWatches.com, V-I-N-C-E-R-O, Watches.com. So there was a 2019 election night. I know some of you might be wondering, what the heck are you talking about? It's 2019. Well, some of the states, such as Kentucky and Virginia, interestingly enough, states that have had this in their tradition for quite some time, for 50 to 100 years, even 150 years, they still do elections in odd years. So look, in Virginia, it's becoming very, very depressing for those of us that love freedom. I'm going to tell you exactly why Democrats are winning in Virginia, but first I'm going to tell you how much they actually won. Democrats completed a clean sweep of Richmond, which the media will tout as a major victory. But however, in context, here's really what happened. We're talking about a state that has already a Democrat governor, AG, and lieutenant governor, as well as two Democrat U.S. senators. It also went for Hillary in 2016. Going into Tuesday, Republicans held a 20-19 advantage in the state Senate and 51-48 edge in the House of Delegates, with one vacancy in each chamber. Democrats picked up at least two Senate seats. So it's not as if they completed a massive reshaping. They flipped a few seats. This is not a bellwether for 2020 by any means whatsoever. But why is Virginia becoming more Democrat? Well, it's because the real divide in America is Washington, D.C. versus the people. And where do all the people live who work in Washington, D.C.? Well, they work in the counties outside of Washington, D.C. They live in Loudoun County and Fairfax County in particular. These are the wealthiest counties. These are the counties that never really experienced the Great Recession like the rest of the country. They benefit from the trial lawyers, the lobbyists, the inside-out deals, the people on K Street that continue to grow their influence, while people in middle America, they see their life and their lifestyle diminish and get depleted almost absolutely. And so as you see Washington, D.C. get more powerful, you see the counties around Washington, D.C. continue to want to keep that status quo the same. And President Trump is a very unpopular president in Washington, D.C. Good. I want a president who's booed by Washington, D.C. and cheered by middle America. And most of Virginia, by the way, that believes in conservative values, they've either moved out of state or essentially the population growth has been all around Washington, D.C. Shifting to Kentucky, look, while it looks bad that Matt Bevin lost, and we're going to assume he lost the Kentucky governor race, it hasn't officially been called, but it sure looks that way right now, he was down 17 points, and President Trump helped rally the troops and made this race very, very close. He was running against a blue dog Democrat, Andy Beshear. Look, Matt Bevin was a widely unpopular governor for a year and a half. I like Matt a lot. He made some very tough decisions with deciding not to expand Medicaid and also reforming pensions. I have family in Kentucky that weren't huge fans of Matt Bevin and the way he handled things, so this did not come as a huge surprise. But conversely, a lot of people voted split ticket. I mean, Attorney General Daniel Cameron won with 823,000 votes to 602,000 votes. That means 123,000 people voted for a Republican attorney general and a Democrat governor. This is the first Republican attorney general in Kentucky for 70 years, the first black attorney general and the first black elected statewide official elected in Kentucky. Yet there's been virtually no coverage of that historic accomplishment. For the rest, Republicans took the state treasurer by 21 points, and they took the secretary of state seat by 4.5 points, the state auditor by 14 points, and the agricultural commissioner by 19 points. Look, this is very simple. It was a referendum on a singular human being, Matt Bevin. This was not a referendum on Donald Trump. Kentucky is still blood red. Trump will win this state by 25 or 30 points. And you saw this also in Mississippi. In Mississippi, Tate Reeves, the Republican, took the governor's mansion in the solidly red state the Democrats have long held as a pipe dream that they can flip. Keep trying to flip Mississippi, Democrats. I want you to pour more money into that. That sounds like a great idea. Now, the president turns his focus to a winnable governor's race in Louisiana, where the vulnerable Democrat John Bel Edwards seek re-election against Eddie Rispone, who stands in his way. I think they vote on Saturdays in Louisiana. I actually think that's where it's coming up. Really interesting. Some good news. We actually need some good news. It's not being reported by the mainstream media at all. Small business confidence is up 160%. This is from the great Paul Bedard at the Washington Examiner. A national economic optimism index of small business owners is at the highest level ever, up 162% since the final months of President Obama's two terms. The Wells Fargo Gallup Small Business Index is at plus 142 compared at plus 54 at the end of the Obama administration. Quote, when owners are asked a broad question about their financial outlook for your business over the next year, 77% say they are more optimistic than pessimistic, end quote, added the survey begun in 2003. This is great news. Small business is the backbone of the American economy, and thanks to President Trump's deregulation, tax cut agenda, and the revitalization of the middle class, small business optimism is up. And guess what? The rest of the world is on the verge of a global recession. I believe that we will continue to see economic growth and we will not go into a recession. We have to also point out that President Trump has rightly declared war on the cartels after 10 Americans have been killed in the Mexican cartel shootout. This is such a brutal story that most of the mainstream media is not covering. The cartels right now are North America's ISIS. That's right, I said it. The cartels are North America's ISIS, and we have to treat them like ISIS. 10 Americans were just killed in a cartel shootout just 3 hours from the U.S.-Mexico border by Mexican cartels. It was a war between the Chihuahua cartel and the Sonora cartel, and these women just happened to be caught in the middle, according to a family member. Here's the grandfather of the 6 children that were killed in the shootout, surveying the damage of the massacre.
This is for the record. Nita and 4 of my grandchildren are burnt and shot up right on the road out of La Mora.
This is the type of violence that will spill over into America if the 2020 Democrats have their way and we don't build the wall. And this is just not just the right-wing talking point. Here's 2020 Democrat frontrunner Elizabeth Warren voicing her support for decriminalizing border crossings and effectively creating open borders.
So the problem is that right now the criminalization statute is what gives Donald Trump the ability to take children away from their parents. It's what gives him the ability to lock up people at our borders. We need to continue to have border security, and we can do that. But what we can't do is not live our values. I've been down to the border. I have seen the mothers. I have seen the cages of babies. We must be a country that every day lives our values. And that means
Thank you,
we
Senator
cannot
Warren.
Make it
just
a crime
clarify.
When someone
Thank
comes
you, Senator.
Here.
Just to clarify, would you decriminalize
Yes.
illegal border crossings?
The point is not about criminalization. That has given Donald Trump the tool to break families apart.
Thank you, Senator.
So that's Elizabeth Warren, who wants more cartel members in our country right now. So look, this is a tragedy that took place in Mexico. Six children, including an eight-month-old twins, are among the dead. That's American citizens. So right now, the President of the United States should call the President of Mexico and say, you got 24 hours before I send 5,000 Marines into your country. I'm not invading your country. I'm going to go kill the cartels and do the job for you. And guess what? You're not going to stop me or else I'm going to cease all trade with your country. We hold the cards. Americans were just killed. Send the troops in and blast these guys who think they're so tough. These cartels think they can fight. They're cowards. These guys don't understand. These guys have never felt the full might and force of the United States military. We should have drone reconnaissance. We should bomb their facilities. We should brutally hold all of these maniacs accountable. And I'm telling you right now, if we do not hold these cartels accountable, more Americans will be killed. Do we need more evidence that the cartels are out of control? I mean, the cartels basically run Mexico right now. It's not the Mexican military that will go after these guys. The United States military. Send in 300 Green Berets. The cartel situation will be fixed really fast. And guess what? Send in Conan the dog. I want the dog. All right? Send in the dog. Send in the Army Special Forces that killed al-Baghdadi. These coward of these cartels, these evil people that is North American ISIS, they should be dead. Kill them because they killed Americans and hold them accountable. So more developments will come soon with this conflict with the Mexican cartels. I think that President Trump is courageous and correct saying we should wage war on them. Well, thanks so much for listening to this edition of the Charlie Kirk Show. For those of you that want to get engaged and involved with the largest, the fastest growing, and the most powerful organization of its kind in the country, it's Turning Point USA. So right now, go to tpusa.com. If you're an adult and you say, oh, how can I help? Pitch in $5, pitch in $10, pitch in $20. If you're a student right now, go to our website, tpusa.com, and fill out that form. Maybe it's starting a chapter. Maybe it's going to our young women's event, going to our young Black Leadership Summit, going to our young Latino Leadership Summit, or going to our big event where we have Laura Ingraham, Sarah Sanders, Candace Owens, Dan Crenshaw, Ben Shapiro, Sean Hannity, and so many others at tpusa.com/SAS. Guess what? That's tpusa.com/SAS. You can go there and hear from Donald Trump Jr., Mark Levin, Senator Rand Paul, and the likes. Go to tpusa.com/SAS to get involved and to come to our great event in Florida. So for those of you listening, Turning Point USA, we're on 1,400 high school and college campuses across the country. We are moving the dial. We are averaging almost a new chapter every single day, almost two new chapters every single day. Our growth is significant. We are going to places that conservatives have never gone before. So please support our sponsors and type in the Charlie Kirk Show right now to your podcast provider. Press subscribe. Go down. Leave us a review. Give us those five-star ratings. Get your friend to do the same. This is Charlie Kirk signing off from The Charlie Kirk Show, your home for conservative, libertarian, rational thinking. Thanks so much for listening. Bye. As always, a big thank you for listening to our show. We'd like to ask a small but very important favor of you. It'll only take a few minutes, and if you're one of the first people to do it, Podcast One will make it worth your time. Literally, we need you to complete a short survey because the information you give us can help make things better for the show and you as a listener. Go to podcastone.com/survey and everything will be right there for you. That's podcastone.com/survey. The first 250 people who complete the survey will get a $10 gift card to Amazon.com. Free money. It's like Andrew Yang. And two grand prize winners will be selected at random to get a $100 Amazon gift card. How about that? Free money. It's a win-win. Our shows are supported by advertisers, so filling this out will really help us cater to the needs of you as a listener. So please go to podcastone.com/survey, answer some questions, and potentially make more money along the way. Thank you so much for being a dedicated listener to The Charlie Kirk Show.